Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 39 is something that makes evident to us in this Psalm of David that we have an end that's coming. It's coming more quickly than you think. In my time in the ministry, I've done more than 50 funerals, and I've seen the death of members, of loved ones, of friends that had to be buried. I've seen people contract a disease and then die rapidly after that. I've seen people that were diagnosed with a cancer. It was untreatable. And I've seen the progression of somebody to go downhill rapidly and then into the tomb. You realize that this is our lives. This is how quick it is, how short our life is. And David is saying, make me to know my end. Teach me, Psalm 90, teach me to know wisdom and understanding. Teach me to walk before you. Teach me to understand how frail, how fragile I am. Teach me what is the end of my days. And this is what the Word of God does. It teaches us that we're all like a flower. We blossom, we rise up, and we shine forth, and then we begin to wrinkle, and we begin to wilt, and then we fall to the earth. And just as the flower becomes part of the earth, so are we. Dust we are, and dust we shall return. We need to know what is the measure of my days, as the psalmist says here. The wisdom about knowing how frail and how fragile we are is that we don't fritter away our time in things that are unimportant, but that we recognize the priorities in our lives of what is most important, chiefest of important, and we get busy at doing those things rather than spending our time in things that are inconsequential. And this is what the psalmist says. That's what his prayer is, that God would teach him understanding of knowing that he is frail. Indeed, you have made my days as a handbreadth. From the thumb to the pinky is about the span of a man's life. Handbreadth. Very quick. And you know, for most of us in here, not all of us, but most of us, you got more in your rearview mirror than you do in your windshield. And you know it. And the exit is coming up. It's coming quickly for many of us. But that is on the presumption that you are going to live to be a certain age, which we all tend to think we're going to live to be a ripe old age. And then we speak that to one another. And then we're sadly disappointed when our spouse dies. And we say that they died too young. Because we figured, we planned that it was going to be a good long life together. And there are many plans in the heart of a man, but the Lord's will, that will stand. If we are being taught how frail and fragile and fleeting our life is, how will then you relate to your spouse knowing that your time is short on this earth? Knowing tomorrow could be your last day on this earth. How should you live your life? David says, my age before you is nothing, and certainly every man at his best state is vapor. Notice the word Selah, that is the pause. Think about that. Your life at your best state, maybe 32, 30 years old, at your strength, at your vigor, you're vapor. You're here today and you're gone tomorrow. And I've seen those that are cut down in their time of strength and vigor. James is teaching that to the people of God. Because you know, we're arrogant and we're presumptuous about our lives. Now, as we're members of this congregation, yeah, we love the Heidelberg Catechism, that we are not our own. But we certainly don't act that way. Too many days, too many times in my own life and in your lives as well, you act like you're your own. And that you can do your own thing and go where you want and say what you want and be your own person and without any regard at all to the Lord. Repent. We all need to repent. We all need to turn away from that. That's phoniness. We get up and we confess these things and we don't live it. It's not seen in our lives. It's just a masquerade. It's just all loud boasting that, as Paul says, is clanging cymbals coming to nothing. It's a zero. If you had all the gifts that God could give and you had not love, it profits you zero. You have nothing. You are nothing. So recognize that we are taught to who we are before the true and living God. And we are nothing. We are as vapor. We are as a flower of the field. We're like a little weed that grows up and then it's cut down. And it happens that quick. And you know how life happens that quick. I'm going to be here 4 years in another couple of months. 4 years. Where's 4 years gone? It's amazing how the time passes. I was thinking about Bob Grossman and how long I've known him. Where is that time? How fast that time passes. You say the same thing. You have reunions. You get together as families. And you say things such as, where's the time gone? Time has flown by. Where is the time? Look at photos of you when you were younger. Yeah, and get a good laugh at it. Because that's how you used to be. And as you see, there's a lot less hair on the roof than there is now. And the things where you used to be muscles, they're not there anymore. And once you could bend over and touch your toes, now you can't even put your shoes on. Now you buy shoes that don't have laces so you can just slide into them. So you don't have to tie. Because the body is falling to the earth. James is teaching the people of God to not be arrogant about your life. He teaches us, number one, how brief life truly is. He teaches us, number two, that we need to have at all times in our mind the Lord's will. Number three, he speaks to us about how arrogant we truly are as men. Feeble, frail, fragile, failing men. But notice how we continue in our arrogance in our lives. We ought to learn. We ought to understand. About 2004, 2005, I was pastoring in the church in Menno, South Dakota. I heard this blast. It was about 10 o'clock at night. And I went to the door and just see if I could smell something, opened it up, smelled burning. But it was just this boom that everything in the house shook. I heard the sirens and didn't know what was going on. So a friend of mine was on the fire department, found out later that one of the ladies that worked at the post office, she was single, living by herself. Her house exploded, gas explosion. She went to bed that night and died in her house like that. They found parts of her house more than a mile and a half away from that explosion. Here today, gone tomorrow. You don't know, beloved. You're intending maybe to go to Lincoln or Omaha tomorrow or somewhere else, and you don't know if you'll make it back to the place that you reside here in Sutton. Life is a vapor. How then ought you to live your life? James says in verse 13, come now, you who say today or tomorrow. Notice the arrogance here. This is what these people are continually saying. This is what's in the present tense in the Greek. It's a habitual action. These businessmen type are continually saying this. Come on, James says. Think about this. You who are saying today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city. Notice they've already planned the time. It's either today or tomorrow we're going to do this. And they're speaking with much arrogance. To say here is to speak without regard to God at all, to speak really in stupidity. It's to reason only with themselves. It's my day planner, my plan, what I'm going to do, what I have planned out, what I've mapped out for my life. This is what I'm going to do. So they choose the time, either today or tomorrow, and we will go. Notice, we are going to go forth, and we are going to go to such and such a city. Time and location is already a set thing in their mind. And James is saying, come now. Come on. Think about it. Your reasoning is illogical. It's irrational. Because you don't know what will happen tomorrow. You don't know if you'll make it tomorrow. You don't know if you'll get out of bed tomorrow. You don't know if you'll get into bed tonight. You don't know, beloved, if you walk out of here today and have a heart attack and fall dead in the parking lot. You don't know that. You don't know what will happen in the next moment. None of us do. And yet, boy, we act arrogantly, don't we? We act presumptuously. I will go and I will do without any regard to the providential hand of God who rules and reigns in the kingdoms of heaven and men. James says, come now. Come and think about this. Notice the duration of their going and buying and selling. He says they're going to spend a year there. Oh, I'm going to go, and it'll either be today or tomorrow, and I'm going to buy and sell, and I'm going to spend, let's say, a year there, and then maybe I'll go somewhere else and start another business. I'm going to buy and sell, and I'm going to make a profit. Now, how arrogant is that of men? Now, look, it's not saying that we don't plan. We ought to plan. Let's have some real talk. Have you planned your funeral? Because it's coming. Have you written your obituary? Why leave that up to your loved ones after you've died? Have you picked out your hymns that you want at your funeral? It's inevitable. We spend so much time about our personal finances, which you are going to lose all of them, and your destiny is to the grave with your body. It's coming and it's inevitable. I don't know if you'll have riches. I don't know if all of it will be taken from you in this lifetime. Eventually, yes. But we spend all of our time so preoccupied with this and nothing with regards to eternity or even just simple the funeral. Our funeral arrangements. Have you planned that? You see, that's planning with regards to God because that's inevitable. It's coming. You don't know if today or tomorrow is going to come for you. You don't know if you will go to another city. You don't know if you will buy, sell, make a profit. You don't know that. But you do know you're going to the grave. Your soul is going to fly away, but your body is going to be buried in the dirt. You do know that. So be a wise planner. Plan with that in mind that I have an end. And that may be today. It may be tomorrow. It's today for somebody. Two people die every second. Two more. People falling over right now. People dying in hospitals. Car crash. Plane crash. Cancer. Murder. Suicide. That's how it's going. That's the meter. We're going to think about it. James says we ought to think about it. Scripture says, teach me to number my days that I might have a heart of wisdom. Lest I'm boastful and arrogant and act like a fool. Many fools. You know who the fools are, beloved? The fools aren't the unbeliever per se. The fools are us. That know, that hear, and do nothing. That's the fool. We hear the word, we hear the admonition, we hear the instruction, we see it before us, we do nothing. That's the fool. James says, verse 14, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Do you? I don't. You didn't know that you were going to get up today. You didn't know that you were going to get out of bed today. You didn't know that you were going to make it to worship today. You may have planned. It's good to plan. Proverbs are filled with planning. Take time to plan. Be a wise planner. Don't make unrealistic goals. Plan well. Plan with wisdom. Plan with understanding. But never plan, beloved, apart from the wisdom of God, the providential hand of God. It's in Him we live and move and have our being. It's for His service. It's for the duration of time that God has allotted to us on this earth. You know my analogy, just like an hourglass. You've got so much sand that the Lord has given in the top of that hourglass, and it's ticking through right now. When will that last grain fall? It's falling at some point for every one of us. It's going to fall. We've only been allotted so much sand in that hourglass. Some make it to 20, some make it to 15, some make it to 10, some die in the womb, some make it to 100. But we all have a sand that is finite, that runs out, that falls through, and we're dead. Immortal until the service of God for us is finished. But that service is going to come to an end for all of us. I was reflecting upon that yesterday, thinking about the men in the ministry that I've served with. And how many are dead now? Don Vance died of a heart attack. Pastor Kingswood died. George Sims died. Men are dying in the ministry. Guys that I've served with. I had a synod picture with Pastor Kingswood on one side and Pastor Sims on the other. I'm in the middle. Neither one of them are here today. It's God's allotment, God's timing. God gives to each one of us a time. Understand that, beloved. What is your life, James says. You ever ask yourself that? What is my life? What is my life about? My life is about the service of God. My life is about glorifying Him in the vocation that He calls me to. Whatever He calls me to, my life is about glorifying Him. It may be construction. Glorify the Lord in the way you use your hammer, the way you do business, the way you shake hands in a pledge. It may be in nursing. It may be as a doctor. It may be as a school teacher. Whatever it is and where the Lord has called you to serve, serve with all your might to His honor and glory. That's what He calls us to. When you serve Him with all your might for His honor and glory, then you take heed to what He says in His word. You live according to the teaching of Scripture. You do business according to the teaching of Scripture. God calls you to do this is what you do. You don't shake hands as a pledge for somebody else and a loan. Why is that? You're not their surety. Don't do that. Don't be a co-signer for somebody else's loan. That's foolishness. Oh yeah, but we do it all the time. Foolish. When they renege, it's coming to you. Well, it's not my loan, it's not my house. You signed. What is your life? James says this. Notice, is even a vapor. Scripture speaks of that metaphor numerous times about our life. A vapor is something that you walk out to the lake in the morning, where the air might be cool and the ground is warm, and you see this fog, this mist that just kind of lies upon the lake. And then the sun comes out and it chases that mist away. And you, where is that mist? Where did it go? Fog rolls in and it rolls out, and it's here and it's there, and it's that quick. Where did it go? Where did it come from? Your life is a vapor. You put water on a kettle and you watch the steam come off the top of it. And it's there for a moment and it disappears. Flowers are the same way. They grow up, they're there, the sun comes out, they wither, they fall away. That's what man's life is like. You're here, beloved, on this earth to serve God, and we are withering away. The outward man is perishing day by day. The inward man is being renewed. But the outward man, we know it, we feel it, we see it. It's perishing. Be wise then in your planning. Don't plan without reference to the Lord. The vapor appears for a little time. A little time. What's 100 years in the sight of God? What's 969 years of Methuselah in the sight of God? 1,000 years is like a day. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord. The Lord lives in eternal now. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing before the Lord. That's why David said in that psalm, "My age is nothing before you." We appear for a little time. What has your service been like for the time as your vaporhood on this life, in this world? So we are. It's a vaporhood. We're a brotherhood, a sisterhood of vapors. And we're passing and vanishing away quickly. So my question is this: what's your service been like towards the glory of God? What's your honor of the Lord been like in serving Him and being faithful to Him and obeying Him? James says, since this is the way that it is, we ought not to say that I'm going to go and do this and that and the other thing, but if the Lord wills. We are to be about the will of the Lord in all things. His revealed will and His secret will, which is revealed in His providence day by day. We don't know the secret will of God except that He reveals it day by day. And beloved, reading, understanding, cultivating the Word of God in your life prepares you to live according to the providence of God in all godliness. That you submit to His providence. It teaches to submit to the providence of God. A mark of a true believer is that they want to do the will of God. Sometimes the will of God is uncomfortable. But the believer desires to do thy will. We are being formed and fashioned into the image of Jesus Christ. That being the case, then as Jesus said, it is my meat and my drink to do the will of my Father in heaven. That should be increasing in us, beloved. That should be more and more of a reality in our lives, that we are doing the will of our Father in heaven. You can't do the will of God apart from knowing His revealed word. His word is His will. Many times we sin by omission, simply not knowing what the Lord calls us to do. Certainly we sin by commission, doing things we know we ought not to do, but we do them anyway. James says, verse 15, you ought. Notice the word ought is italicized because it's not in the original text. But James' force is there. This is the ethic, the will of God. Here's God's will, that you say, present tense, keep on saying, if the Lord wills. I intend to go here, Lord willing. If it's God's will, then I'll make it there. I don't know if it's His will that I make it there. My plan is to go, but I'm planning with an eye to the providence of God. We've had sicknesses. All of us have had sicknesses. You didn't know if you were going to recover. You wondered whether you were going to get over something. Lord willing, you will get over it. Lord willing, your body will take the medication and it will be effective in your body. The Lord will bless that and you'll heal, Lord willing. Lord willing, I'll drive to such and such a place and I'll make it back. Lord willing. Now, you don't have to constantly be saying, Lord willing, but it has to constantly be on your mind. It constantly has to be a refrain in your life. God willing. Divi Deo Volente. God willing, this will take place. God willing, I will make. God willing, I'll go to this city and live and buy and sell and make a profit. God willing, from a year from now, I'll go somewhere else. God willing. My plan, but those plans may change. Plans do change. We have plan A, B, C, D, E. We have multiple plans. God doesn't have those plans. He has one. We fall in line with the plan of God. If you don't, you're going to be a bitter person. You're going to be bitter. You're going to be angry. You're going to be resentful because, beloved, you're fighting against God. Who do you think wins that fight? Don't you see the folly and the futility of fighting against God? Do you not see the example of Job putting your hand over your mouth saying you spoke too soon? Do you not see the example of the Apostle Paul when Gamaliel says, you know, if this is of the Lord, you're wasting your time. You cannot win fighting against God. So we submit to the Lord. That's what a believer does. If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. If it's God's will, if He gives me the strength, if God provides what I need, I will continue to live and move and have my being on this earth. But He says, you boast. The boasting, again, is a present tense. And the word there in the Greek, boast, is a loudmouth. And notice the arrogance. The arrogance means somebody that wanders. So they wander about all over the place with a big mouth, boasting arrogantly that they are going to accomplish these things. James says, here's the fool. Watch, beloved. Watch and listen, and you'll see the fools all around with the big mouth wandering all over the place and can't keep their mouth shut, saying they're going to do this, they're going to do that, without a reference to God at all. That's the boastful, arrogant man. And that is evil. If you're doing that and you're planning without reference to the providential hand of God, that's evil. If you know the good things for you to do and you don't do it, that is evil. The Greek term evil, paneros there. It's in the nominative case. That's what it speaks of Satan being the evil one. You are acting as an evil one if you walk about this earth with a big mouth, boasting in your arrogance that you're going to do this and that without any reference at all to the true and living God. And again, let me bring this real talk, speaking about the church. This is the people of God who hear the word of God. James says, the one that's blessed is the one that hears the word and does it. Jesus told his disciples, more than that, blessed is the one who nourished you. Blessed is the one, Jesus said, who hears the word of God and obeys it. That's all of the will of God. In every area, every aspect of our life, bowing to the will of God. Do you know the good to do? It is not good for you, beloved, to boast in arrogance. It is not good for you to plan without reference to the providence of God. It is not good for you to think you are going to be in this earth, in this body forever. It is not good for you to think that. It is not good for you to build your little kingdom in this world. It is not good for you to stiffen up your neck and walk in arrogance and abstinence of the things of God. It is not good. And for you to do that, it's evil. It's wicked. Repent. That's the word, isn't it? It's repent. Turn away from that kind of mentality more and more. Strengthen yourself in the Lord your God. Humble yourself before the Lord. Get on your face and ask for forgiveness for being arrogant, because we've all done it. We've all been boastful. We've all been arrogant. We've went around this world with a big mouth thinking we're going to do things. They don't come to pass. And then we're angry. Then we're spiteful. Then we're resentful. And we're bitter. And we're bitter at God. Repent. and know that, Lord, in your hand is my times. Serve the Lord. Stop striving for your kingdom. Serve the Lord. Jesus came to do the will of his heavenly Father. Jesus said, it's my meat and my drink. If this cup can pass for me, let it pass. If not, I'll drink the dregs to the bitter end. Why? Because it is your will, Lord. It's my Father's will. He went around preaching the gospel, doing good to all men. Why? Because it was the Father's will that he do so. Beloved, we know that. We are to love, forgive, repent, read, worship, provide, care, share, love, give. It's all there. And if you don't do it, it's evil. Because it's a good thing to do. It's the right thing to do. It's the good God-honoring thing in the life of the church. So we do it. Beloved, don't be arrogant. Don't be boastful. Live your life with reference to God's providential hand over all things in this world. Live in light of that. It's liberating. I plan to, if it doesn't work out, I realize it. And I rejoice in the God who has brought me into his kingdom for his glory and for his service. All other boasting is arrogant, evil, despising of the true and living God. Repent and look to Christ. He's ready to forgive. That's the promise we have in God's word. Take these words to heart. Be prepared for things that are inevitable. Because we are soon going to fly away. And our funeral is coming. The exit for each one of us is coming. Don't be the fool found not trusting in the providential hand of God. Amen. Shall we pray?